humble and tolerant. You can't try and try to try this, but I see that it's very difficult to keep fluctuating between our ordinary material life and we come in the temple and when we associate with devotees. We are generally associated with many of our college friends. I mean, I get terribly confused. What should be my attitude while dealing with them? Because if I'm, you know, anyway humble there, I can't survive in the atmosphere. There's so much competition. So I want to ask you how to. It's very difficult to be fluctuated with them. Once a devotee looks to be very nice, and then outside, horrible atmosphere. So, could please enlighten me.
Why do you need to associate with people who are not devotees?
We have to be sometimes at least with some of our other college mates who cannot spend the majority of our time with them. We cannot be isolated.
Why?
For other academics, when you're doing practicals, when you're attending lectures, we have to be amidst them. We cannot avoid being.
What do you do with them?
We are either sitting in the class, waiting for the professor, or doing the practical sometimes the professor is not there. And we have to sometimes work with them, we have to take their help in academics.
So why you cannot be humble in their association?
Because most of their talks are not very, very European. They're talking about general movies and other things which are hardly.
So what do you do when they speak like this?
I try to run away or I try to shift the topics to more of academics which you're supposed to do at that time. That's what I try to do maximum. Because they are not at all interested in Krishna consciousness. They just start blaspheming everything.
Then you should only associate with them as far as what you need to perform your duties in school, and not beyond. And your duty in school to associate with them is to discuss academics and perform those activities with them. And to whatever extent they're not willing to maintain that subject, you should not socialize with them. But it doesn't mean you have to become proud. You can remain humble, but firm. You can be firm and humble. Tororapi Sahishruna, a tree, can be also very firm, but still tolerant. So you should be firm in protecting your own spiritual principles. But you should not waste time with them. In other words, you may have to act with them as a matter of your duty. But unless the subject matter is not harmful to your Krishna consciousness, you should have no social life with them. Social life means beyond your studies, you're talking or meeting together for social sense gratification. Unless you can preach to them Krishna consciousness, or unless they are sympathetic toward Krishna consciousness, or unless you're doing something very necessary for your projects, you simply should not socialize with them. What do you care what they say? But don't let them contaminate your heart. And don't let them waste your time. It's not worth it. A real friend is someone who helps you on the path of life. If they're not helping you, they're not your friend. So you should be very humble, servant of devotees, and you should be humble everywhere. But sometimes humility takes the form of firmness, not to waste time and not to allow others to distract your attention away from your purpose of life. That is very important. That is part of humility. Your guru, Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, has told you not to waste time. So to be humble means to follow that instruction and to allow people to waste your time is actually not being humble at all. So part of humility is to be very firm, to remain fixed on the path of devotion. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, many times we have problems in our life. Our life is very troubled. But at that time, other people say that this is what your devotion is giving. How should we react to that?
We have a lot of troubles, miseries, and people say this is what your devotional service is giving results, more troubles.
Everyone in the material world has troubles and miseries. Before you came to Krishna consciousness, did you ever have troubles and miseries? Yes? Whether you're a devotee or not devotee, troubles and miseries will come. Spiritual life is how to deal with them in such a way that you can ultimately transcend them. The troubles and miseries will always be, as long as you're in the material world. A materialistic person simply suffers. A devotee may have to suffer, but in the process of suffering is making an ultimate, final solution. Which means by gradually transcending the bodily concept, and developing attachment to the blissful state of serving Krishna. Troubles and miseries will be there, no matter what you do. So the intelligent person does what will gradually bring about a real solution. Because this world, we are not the controllers. We are ultimately being controlled. And many forces come into our lives beyond our control. We have to learn to accept. We try our best to deal with it, the best we can, but ultimately we just have to accept it as our destiny. And in the course of our destiny, we should be taking shelter of Krishna and thus call upon him to change our ultimate destiny and go back home, back to God. Good. We should be afraid of Maya. If we're afraid of Maya, we will always be very attentive to seek the shelter of Krishna's protection. If we trust Maya and we have no fear of Maya, then we will not be so attentive. So we should always be afraid of Maya. But that fear should impel us to always remain very strictly at the feet of Krishna by following his instructions, by associating with his devotees. You absolutely need the association of devotees, otherwise Maya will carry you away. But you will take the association of devotees not very seriously if you do not understand the power of Maya and the weakness of your own ability to fight against Maya without the support and the friendship of Vaishnavas.
So in conclusion, if I want to remain in Krishna consciousness all my life, then I have to associate with devotees.
Yes.
That is only a way to...
It's the only way. There is no other way. We must associate properly. In that association we hear about Krishna. We inspire each other to chant our japa. We have nice kirtans together. And we try to preach together and serve the mission of Lord Chaitanya together. That association will most certainly bring you to the stage of pure devotional service.
But still, many people, they join temple, they are always in association with devotees, but still they go away. What what is the reason? So it may happen to me also. I may want to associate with devotees, but some circumstances may arise that I may give up the association of devotees. So very difficult.
That is your free will. If you are honestly afraid of Maya, you will never give up the association. But if you offend devotees, if you commit aparadhas to devotees, then Krishna will not allow you to continue to associate with them because you have misused the sacred opportunity that he has blessed you with. So we should keep good sadhana and we should not make aparadhas. If we do these two things, we will never have to leave the association. If we are weak in our sadhana, we will become lazy and then Maya will convince us to try to enjoy in another place. If we make aparadhas, Krishna kicks us away. If our sadhana is weak, then Maya attracts us away. So if we keep good sadhana, and we're very humble and try to serve devotees and not offend them, then Krishna will always give us the opportunity to be in the association of his devotees.
Maharaj, I am very weak in heart. I have absolutely no determination. Many times situation comes in which I know what is good for me, what is bad for me, but still somehow I am pulled into doing that wrong act. So Maharaj, how to overcome this weakness of heart?
Krishna will you... Determination comes from Krishna. He's given everyone the potential to be determined. You just be determined according to your capacity now. Krishna says in Gita, ananyaschintayanto mam yejana paribhashate. You just try your very best, honestly and earnestly. Krishna will protect whatever little you have, and he will give you whatever more is required to perfect your life in devotional service. You just have to use whatever determination you have now to your full capacity. And Krishna can give you unlimitedly more, but he will not give you anything more until you use everything you have now. So you must be determined. When a devotee asks Prabhupada, what should I do if I have no determination? He said, no determination means you are an animal. The difference between a human being and an animal is determination. An animal simply acts according to its instincts. A human being is determined to do what's right despite what his mind and senses say. So as a human being, you have determination, but you have to use it. Krishna has given it to every human being, but we have to use it. And the more we use it, the more he will give us more and more and more. He will always protect us. We should not justify that I cannot do it because I have no determination. If you think like that, then you are hopeless. But if you say, I must do it, I must remain strict, I must remain on this path, and I will, no matter what. Anyone can say that, and anyone can strive in that way. And if you do, Krishna will give you unlimited determination to protect you. Just use whatever you have properly, and Krishna will give you more. If you do not use what you have properly, Krishna will give you nothing. He's already given it. He'll give you more when he sees what he's given you is being utilized. If a father gives a son money and he doesn't utilize it, will the father give him more money? But if the father sees the son has invested the money very properly, then the son, father will give him all the money. So Krishna's already given you. But what he's given you, you have to invest it properly. If you don't use it, then he'll give you nothing more.
One great problem that I face is that sometimes in Krishna consciousness, because of lack of sleep, I sleep a lot during japa and other times also. This thing we have heard so lot of times that if you are really eager, that you will not sleep during japa. And
how many sleep you are getting at night?
Sometimes we get regular sleep, but sometimes around 4 or 5 hours. That times it is not during japa, stay sleeping.
You should get 6 hours sleep. Then you will chant japa better.
But we have found that if you are really eager, that even if you don't get any sleep, then you will not stay sleeping.
But you are not so eager. So better you get proper sleep and then you try your best to chant. Hare Krishna.
We know that whatever we do, doing, whatever we give away, we do it as an offering to Krishna. What is the check we should do? We will come to know that I am doing the right
way. If you're hearing nicely from Krishna and his representatives and you are sincere, then it will be quite obvious to you. All you have to do is ask. Ask Krishna or a senior Vaishnav. What I am doing, is it what Krishna wants? And they will tell you. And if they say no, then you should stop doing. And if they say yes and give blessings, then you should do. But your consciousness should always be that whatever you're doing will either now or in preparation for the future, it is for Krishna's service. If you are studying, if you are chanting your rounds, following the 4 regulative principles, reading the scriptures, and carrying on with your study with the intention that I will use this directly or indirectly in Krishna's service, that is my purpose, then that is devotional service. Then that is an offering to Krishna. But if your intention is simply to make money for your sense gratification, then your studies is not a devotional service. So it depends on your motive, and it requires the blessings of senior Vaishnavas. If those two things are in order, that you have the proper motivation and you have the blessings of senior Vaishnavas, then you can know for sure that Krishna is accepting it as an offering. Is that quite clear? There should never be confusion or doubt in your mind.
Maharaj, you told that we should be determinant. So it is told that without Krishna's mercy, nothing can happen. So we should, to become determinant, we should wait for Krishna's mercy, or we should try for becoming determinant.
Krishna's mercy you already have. You have to be determined to reciprocate with his mercy in a proper way. And if you are, Krishna will give you unlimitedly more mercy. But if you are not determined to reciprocate with his mercy properly, then he will not give you more mercy. He will not give you more spiritual strength or determination. So Krishna has already given you. You have to receive it and use it. Use it to its full extent according to your capacity. And all that's required is that you are sincere. Maya will come to tempt us to do so many things, we have to say, no, this is not what Krishna wants. I will remain fixed. You have the power to say that, and you have the power to do it, because Krishna is giving you that power. But if you don't use that power and stand and be firm, then that is not Krishna's fault. That is due to your insincerity. Krishna has already given you the mercy to be determined on the path of bhakti. You have to accept it and you have to utilize it. Krishna gave Arjuna the teachings and he said, now you are armed with this knowledge. Now you go out and fight. Krishna has, the first time you came to the temple to hear about Krishna, Krishna armed you with knowledge to overcome the powers of Maya. And he's continuing to give you these powers, but you have to use them. And one of the greatest powers is your determination. Krishna will give you that. He's already given. Just use it. Fight. Fight against evil. Fight against temptation. Fight against illusion. And remain faithful to your vows in Krishna consciousness. If you are willing to do that, then Krishna will see you are a suitable candidate for his mercy. If you are not willing to do that, then he will just let you do whatever you want to do. And he will not personally involve himself. He'll just let you do what you want and let Maya be your master. Unless you want him to be your master, he will just let Maya be your master. And your determination and your sincerity is what shows Krishna that you want him to be your master. You want to take shelter. You want him to protect you. Krishna will protect anyone who wants his protection. But you have to show that desire by your sincere determination.
Maharaj, if I'm getting angry on a particular devotee, for example, if he's telling me it is 9:30 in the night, please go to sleep, and I feel he himself is not sleeping and he is telling me to sleep. So in such case, what should I do when I am getting angry on a devotee, especially on a devotee?
You should go to sleep.
Maharaj, this tendency of he himself is not going to sleep and why he is asking me to sleep, that this tendency is very
that
bad.
Means he loves you more than he loves himself. Is it right that you go to sleep at that time?
Actually, yeah, it is right.
So he's giving you good instruction. You should accept.
But how to overcome this tendency of feeling bad?
By going to sleep. And chant Hare Krishna. Always try to see the good in another devotee. I'm sure many things good you can think about that person. There's probably 1,000 good things and 1 bad thing, that he's not going to sleep. So which is more important? The 1,000 good things or the fact that he's not going to sleep? So see things in that proportion. First look at the 1,000 good things before looking at the fact that he's not going to sleep. But why should you be angry? You can also be a friend to him and say, Prabhu, thank you for saving my life by telling me to go to sleep. But to reciprocate my love with you, I would like you to tell you to also go to sleep. But why should you get angry? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. My question is, as we grow in our devotional service with our god brothers or equals, we start finding faults, and a time comes when our relationship gets spoiled. So my question is, Maharaj, how should this be checked in the initial stages? And once, if by chance such thing has happened, what should be the immediate care one should take? What should be the immediate action one should take?
We should know that finding faults in devotees causes our own spiritual destruction. When we find faults with devotees, we may convince other people that this devotee is not so good, but in the process we convince Krishna that we're not so good. Is that worth it? Ultimately, we do not make spiritual advancement by public opinion. We make spiritual advancement by pleasing Krishna. When we find faults with devotees, we're hurting our spiritual master and we're displeasing Krishna. And by displeasing Guru and displeasing Krishna, we are destroying all of our spiritual potential. So we should know that. It's simply not worth it. Therefore, we should not find faults with devotees. Whenever the tendency to find faults is there, we should think in our minds, with our intelligence, that this devotee has so many good qualities. Let me speak his good qualities, just to purify my heart of this fault-finding tendency. And you should speak the good of those people you want to find faults in. That will purify you rather than contaminate you. And if already you have found faults with devotees and it has disturbed the relationship, it is better if you take this approach and try to serve them and try to please them and try to come together in a mood of service to Guru together with respect for each other. And know if you do that, you will gain a tremendous amount of pleasure in the eyes of Guru and Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate. Sometimes showing love means to perform a great sacrifice. So this is the sacrifice necessary for us to show our love. And Krishna will reciprocate with that sacrifice.
Hare Krishna. My question is a little long, so I hope I don't offend you. But it's very important for me to know this. It's a question of my life. I am very much in favor of ISKCON because it has made me leave many bad habits which I had earlier. I am very much interested in spiritual advancement and I like to read the scriptures very much. I also enjoy the kirtans, discourses, dancing and Krishna prasadam. I also prefer the association of devotees to my personal friends who are engaged in mundane activities. But I am now undergoing my divorce proceeding and shall be independent in about 6 months' time. And my parents are insisting that after this divorce is over, I should go in for a second marriage, raise kids, and handle the family business as along with practicing Krishna consciousness. But I feel that a second marriage would divert my attention more towards family and attachment, and I would rather prefer to stay unmarried and practice Krishna consciousness so that I can practice it properly. And I want to practice it 100%. So that at least I see a possibility of, there may be a possibility of me going back to Godhead at least and serving the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan. So would you guide me as to whether I should go for a second marriage or shall I stay a bachelor and practice 100% Krishna consciousness?
It's better if you remain not a bachelor.
I mean, whatever you call it, after that
It's better if you become vanaprastha.
Yeah, vana, I don't know that.
And surrender wholesale to Krishna. That is best. Whether you are able to do that is something that should be discussed very carefully. And that should not be done in a public assembly with 75 other people. You should have a personal talk with one of your spiritual leaders or guides, a senior Vaishnava, and get good opinion from them.
Okay, thank you.
Your parents may be pressurizing, but their goal is not that you go back to Godhead. So you should take the opinion of someone who is concerned with your going back to Krishna and perfecting your life. And that takes understanding your nature and your capacity and your responsibilities. So you should discuss this very carefully with one of the senior devotees here who could actually help you. Do you have a spiritual counselor at this time?
He's just started coming to the Gopinath.
I think you should accept a spiritual counselor.
Based in Bombay.
You're based in Bombay, accept a spiritual counselor, start to develop a relationship of taking guidance with him, and then discuss this matter with him very carefully. And I will also participate in helping giving guidance, but I would like you to have a very ongoing dialogue with a spiritual counselor who can very immediately be with you at all times to give you that type of direction. And your decision should be made in a very sober and mature way, and that may take a little time. Until then, you should not implicate yourself in a situation that you may regret in the future. Yes.
To accept the humble obeisances, Maharaj. Two questions, Maharaj. The first question is, Maharaj, generally in the neophyte stage, we offend the devotees, especially the equals, but we don't realize it. Because devotees are so humble and compassionate, they simply tolerate us. So how do you understand whether you are offending a devotee or not, Maharaj? That is the first question. And second,
if
you
are trying to harm that devotee or discredit that devotee, then you are offending that devotee. If you accidentally say something or do something with all good intentions that may not be according to the perfect etiquette, that is not an offense. That is a mistake. We should avoid mistakes, but offenses are something that is done with a negative intention toward that person. Those offenses are held very strongly against us by the Lord. Yes, second question.
Second is, Maharaj, how to get rid of lust, Maharaj, attraction towards the opposite sex on the mental plane?
By purifying ourselves through the process of bhakti. It is a lifetime process. By keeping our mind and senses engaged in Krishna service, by chanting, by hearing, by remembering, by praying, by worshipping the deity, by carrying out the orders of the spiritual masters, by doing personal seva to Krishna and his devotees. Through these processes we purify our mind and senses. And only through purification do we overcome lust. But we have to be very determined and very serious, very attentive to always keep our mind and senses engaged in Krishna's service. Hare
Krishna. How can one stay safe from committing Vaishnava?
How can one save oneself from committing?
By not offending Vaishnavas. That means you should always speak the good of Vaishnavas and you should always try to serve Vaishnavas. If your meditation is on the positive, then you will have the strength to overcome the negative. If you're thinking bad about a Vaishnava, just to hold that in is very difficult. Simultaneous to holding it in, we have to start cultivating an appreciation of that Vaishnava. And every Vaishnava has so many good qualities. Just start trying to somehow or other look for those good qualities. Appreciate those good qualities. Speak about those good qualities. This will give you the strength to overcome the tendency to find fault or to blaspheme or to offend. If you're just trying to be humble and just trying to serve, you will not commit any serious offenses. But when you allow pride to take over and you want to control rather than serve, then inevitably you will definitely commit many offenses. So to cultivate the spirit of a humble servant will protect you of all offenses. Does that answer your question? The opposite of serving is controlling. The opposite of humility is pride. When you want to control and manipulate, and you become proud, you will be driven by these two tendencies to commit offenses. But if you check them by performing the austerity of always trying to behave humbly and always trying to serve, then you will be protected from all offenses.
Thanks for providing me as I'm not a devotee here, just rumors have ignited me. They were first here. So I have some doubts regarding today's prachan or something. First doubt is, can you please tell them
what is the structure or something about the soul, the humble soul you refer something, before birth or after birth, what the structure it will take, soul takes something structure, putting clothes on, new clothes to the body, something. I want to know whether
the soul has an original form in this spiritual world, which is Satchidananda. The form of the soul is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But when the soul comes into this material atmosphere, that form remains in a potential state. And we take the form of being 1/10,000th the size, the tip of a hair. And according to our egoistic conceptions, we create karmic activities. Those karmic activities force us to enter into one of the 8,400,000 species of life. And these species have so many forms. The subtle body's form is just to cover the soul. And according to the desires of the subtle body, it's like the hand within the glove. The subtle body changes in so many ways according to its desires, and then it takes a certain dress that it is most suited to, which is the 8,400,000 species of life. So the idea is to liberate ourselves from the subtle body. If the subtle body becomes purified through devotional service, then the soul will manifest its own original spiritual body.
Regarding chanting, today I experienced something. Will you prefer Hare Rama chanting or Hare Krishna chanting or Gayatri Mantra? Some theories will tell that Gayatri Mantra should be chanted number of times to eliminate a fear from heart, from something. Which you prefer, sir, actually?
Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the Maha Mantra for everyone. Gayatri Mantra is only for those who are very, very qualified Brahmins. No, it's not a question. It has nothing to do with caste. It has to do with qualification. If you're born a Brahmin but not qualified as a Brahmin, then the Gayatri Mantra will not have any real effect.
My guru is Brahman, but Vamanacharya, my guru is Vaman. He is the first
guru. It doesn't matter who your guru is, what's important is who you are. Huh?
I'm not Brahmin, sir. My guru is Vamanacharya.
I don't care about your caste. Caste is meaningless. I'm concerned, do you know what a Brahman is? Krishna doesn't say Brahman means born in a Brahman family. Krishna says Brahman is one who has the qualifications of truthfulness, cleanliness, self-control, knowledge of the scriptures, compassion to others, devotion to God. These are the qualifications of a real Brahman. So the Gayatri Mantra is meant to be chanted by those who are actually qualified Brahmins. But the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is for everyone. And it will bring everyone to the highest plane of Krishna consciousness. So we do not allow anyone within our sampradaya to chant until they're chanting Hare Krishna for several years, and the spiritual master sees that this person is truly and genuinely following the four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds of Maha Mantra for at least a year or 2 years, and that the person is genuinely striving to follow Brahminical standards, then we will give person Gayatri Mantra. And then that Gayatri Mantra very much helps us to be Brahminical in our behavior, and that will give us much more potency in our chanting of Maha Mantra. So my advice to you is just chant Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Sir, one more. Can you please convince my closest friend to realize the presence of God, Krishna or Ram? He is against of gods, because
the best thing is your example. If you're actually convinced of devotion to Krishna and you're living by those principles, that will be the most effective way of convincing your friend.
I challenged him that I will take you to that, I will take you to, up to God if you believe on me. I will realize that the person, because for me you are God. God never is seen something. God, I too never saw the God actually. But God is there in every...
We are all eternal servants of God.
You just
learn how to be a good servant of God yourself. First you have to convince yourself before trying to convince your friends in the world. First you...
Or can you confirm meditation equivalent to chanting or different things they are? Meditation and chanting.
According to the Shastras, chanting is the highest form of meditation.
What is a samadhi? Last question, please.
Samadhi means to be fixed in service to Krishna with one's body, mind and soul 24 hours a day. That is the perfection of samadhi. Did Krishna teach Arjuna samadhi? Yes. His samadhi was fighting the battle of Kurukshetra as a service to Krishna. That was a higher samadhi than sitting in the Himalayas silently. The perfection of a pure consciousness is to serve.
How will we develop love and trust within ourselves, within us?
You should try to act in such a way that people will trust you, and you should show your love for others. That's how you could best generate love and trust within the society of devotees.
Problem is that I really, it's a lot of struggle to remember Krishna. Even very small things like remembering Mahaprasada prayers before taking prasadam, or some senior devotee comes offering him obeisances, or very simple thing like that. You know, when a spiritual master comes offering him, then in coming to temple, first going to the deity. Very simple things, but it shows that it takes a lot of things to struggle to remember Krishna.
What is the question?
He's just explaining that it's a struggle.
So you continue to struggle? Are you a student?
Are you a student?
Do you have to struggle in your studies?
You have to struggle in your studies?
Yes. So do you struggle in your studies? So if you're willing to struggle for such a little thing as studies, why not be willing to struggle for such a big thing as the perfection of life? If you're willing to struggle for a little certificate, are you in a degree or diploma course? So you're willing to struggle for a degree. And what will that degree guarantee you? Will it guarantee you freedom from birth and death? Will it guarantee you happiness? Will it even guarantee you a job? So you are willing to struggle so much, so many hours, so many years, just for that little degree?
It's a 16 years course, total, in total.
16?
Yes, become engineer.
From 5 years.
So you're struggling 16 years for a little degree, but there's no guarantee that it will give you anything. But Krishna's guaranteeing, Madmanabhava Madbhakto Madhyajim Nandamaskuru Mame Vaishashi Shatyam Te Pratijani Priyoshini. always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage to me, and you will come to me without fail, I guarantee. It is my promise to you. So we should be willing to struggle for Krishna.
Maharaj, in the process of study, there are some intermediate points where we can check our success, whether or not we are on the right track. So here it takes a long of pretty long time to check whether after we are becoming pure devotee, you Krishna will protect.
You can make checks. Are you following the regulative principles? Are you chanting? Has the values of your life changed? Cannot you see that there's a big difference in your life since you've come to Krishna consciousness? So that is a check that we are being transformed, we are changing, we are becoming purified. We should be checking on a regular basis. Are we following the process properly? Are we being transformed? But on the spiritual path, you must struggle. For anything good to be achieved in this world, there must be struggle. But why not struggle for the best thing?
Maharaj, generally when we are in the association with the equals, among equals, previously before we have come in Krishna consciousness, we are all friends. But after coming to Krishna consciousness, we feel difficulty in relationship with the devotees. How we can improve the relationships, how we can humble ourselves and we can feel that we are really servant of all the Vaishnavas around us. How we can develop that?
By hearing the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, we can understand that service to the Vaishnavas is the most essential aspect of our spiritual advancement. And with that knowledge, we should be very, very attentive, to be very humble and try to serve devotees. And the best service is to be a good example in one's own sadhana, in one's own behavior, and in one's own enthusiasm to preach, to cook, to clean, to chant, to dance, to speak about Krishna. Just try to be a good example and try to help devotees through your example. That is the greatest service. If we understand the importance of it, we will do it. So first thing is we must be convinced of its importance. We should make it a priority in our life. The chanting of the holy names and the service of the Vaishnavas are the two greatest, most important aspects of our life in Krishna consciousness.
Sometimes we are not always conscious. Sometimes we behave cheaply because we are not always conscious that we are always mood of servant.
As soon as we remember that we're not conscious, we should become conscious.
After we behave, then we realize that. No,
then we should beg forgiveness from Krishna, from our Guru, and from whatever devotee we have taken cheaply. But if we are hearing regularly, and we are reminding each other regularly, then we will help each other to become conscious of this sacred principle.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, we have heard that we can do the service of preaching to get rid of all the attachments that we have in the heart. So can you kindly explain what are the attachments that we can develop to our preaching programs and to the devotees to whom we are preaching? What should be our mood, and how can it be a pleasing service to Guru Maharaj?
The mood is servant. The only mood that will ever please Krishna is the mood of a servant. When we preach, we are serving our Guru by delivering his message to others. The only purpose of our Guru's life in this world is to help his Guru in giving Krishna to others. So what is a greater service to our Guru than helping him give Krishna to others, both amongst the devotees as well as the non-devotees? By our example and by our words, we should be trying to serve our Guru by giving his message to others. That is a very, very vital service. It is our life and soul. And we should also feel ourselves to be the servant of the person we're preaching to. We should not think we are the Lord and Master of this person. We should feel we are servant. This person is in need. If it is a devotee, we should feel we are serving for our purification, because this person is a Vaishnava, and by serving this person, I am serving Krishna. If a person is not a devotee, we should feel we are serving this person by giving spiritual hope into this person's life. We should not feel superior to the person. A preacher is a servant. In every aspect of our life, what will make our service dear to Krishna is our consciousness that we are doing it as a service to Guru and as a service to the person that we are trying to help. But always remember, you are the servant of the servant of the servant. And just try to do everything in the mood of a servant and chant the holy names and remain humble. Sometimes in preaching you have to be very forceful, but that should even be done in a humble mood of service. It should not be done egoistically. Sometimes we may have to smash people's illusions, but it should be done as a humble service to our Guru and to that person. That is proper service. To do the needful to serve that person.
Maharaj, how do we know whether we are attached to our preaching service or to the devotees or non-devotees to whom we are preaching?
We will know when Krishna tests us and takes away all inclination toward that service. If you're willing to do it anyway, with the same enthusiasm and the same determination, then you'll know that you're doing it for Krishna. But if you feel, well, it doesn't give me happiness, so I will not do it, then you should know that you still have some selfish attachments, even in the name of your devotional service. We should remain very steady, despite how our mind or senses are feeling. That is the test. Yes?
5 minutes more.
Krishnananda Prabhu is putting a curfew of 5 minutes more.
Maharaj, many times so many things become mechanical, like offering obeisances, honoring prasadam, offering Prabhu also.
If you are attentive to why you're doing it, then it is not mechanical. When you say Prabhu, you should actually think what it means. Then it is not mechanical. A machine does not think of what it's doing. It just does. Mechanical means like a machine. You can program a tape recorder to say Prabhu, but the tape recorder is not thinking, this is my master. So when we say Prabhu, it should not be like a tape recorder. We should actually think, every time we say Prabhu, we should think, this means I am this person's servant. Prabhu means I am your servant. Correct? So we should actually be aware of that. And when we bow down to someone, we are humbling ourselves. It means the same thing essentially, I am your servant. So whatever we should do from our heart. We should do with consciousness. Nothing should be unconscious. Nothing should be simply ritualistic. Everything should be done with an understanding of its meaning and a remembrance of why we are doing it. Then we will become very, very purified and spiritually enriched in everything we do, even little things, in our Krishna consciousness.
Two questions, Maharaj. In the Bhagavatam, we heard about Ajamila when the cause of his fall down, when he saw due to his embracing, he fall down. Even he was a determined and he was a Brahmana before, still he fall down. So, if any person is in such a situation, what should he do? Because no one is as determined as maybe Ajamila. He had lot of pious credits in his career. So, we are not so. Your condition, so how should we check that we won't fall down? Because these things are cannot how to avoid this and how to overcome.
You should keep very strong sadhana, and you should keep very strong relationships with devotees. This will protect you, and you should not take pleasure in seeing these things. You should be very alert when your senses are seeing these kinds of situations. You should look the other way. You should close your ears the other way. You should take shelter of Krishna in that situation. And if you have good sadhana and nice association of devotees, then you will have the strength to take shelter of Krishna in those situations. Otherwise, you will not.
Second question. Manjay, Rupa Goswami says that after the sixth thing, one is to reveal our mind to devotees, and which is very necessary to advance in spiritual life. Many times it happens that we feel that we are unnecessarily troubling the devotees because they are very busy and they are serving so much. And by our this thing, we are necessarily troubling them and wasting their time. So we many times feel guilty, and that might even lead that we may not reveal our mind in future. How to overcome? Like we always fear that we aren't troubling them because of our petty problems. So how to really see that we are not offending or troubling them?
Problems that you feel are serious, you should discuss in a time and a place with the right person that is conducive to a proper dialogue. It's not that if a devotee's running to the car to a preaching program, we talk to him on the way about our serious problems. Then we are troubling them. The proper person in the proper place at the proper time, so that we could actually reveal our mind very honestly and sincerely. Then we are not troubling the devotee. We are actually allowing that devotee to help us, and we need that help. Without the help of the Vaishnavas, we are helpless and hopeless.
Krishna Maharaj, how do we know who your real guru is? Because in the spiritual world we have a guru, But once we come to the material point, we must have seen before Krishna consciousness, before coming to Krishna consciousness, we see, come across so many people, and even the religions, various religions, and we think, yes, he is our real Guru, and we must have accepted, yes, in the mind, he is our real Guru. And we think we have the full capacity to serve him.
Whoever inspires you most to surrender to Krishna, according to the authorized process of Bhagavad Gita, that person is your Shiksha Guru, and you should follow. And after some time, when our faith becomes mature and we're able to follow the process very carefully, then we may request Diksha or formal initiation.
And how do you know what is your real capacity, that you are giving your fullest capacity? Because we cannot know what is the capacity unless for a particular service. So what is the real capacity to serve?
You inquire submissively and you try to follow those instructions sincerely the best you can. Be honest.
Sometimes some devotees whatever they do, we don't like. It means that wavelength is not matching. Sometimes our superiors give seva which we have to cooperate and do it. So at that time we should approach superior saying that I cannot work with him, or you can put me somewhere else, like that. And also that devotee, he is very much, you know, adamant, you know, somehow or other we try to build friendship, but he is not interested, like that. So it is better to avoid it, or so what to do in this case?
Humility means to adjust your own wavelength till it matches.
Repeat again.
Humility means to adjust your wavelength to match them.
When we associate with senior devotees, we become very inspired to take to be very seriously. But when we again go back to our colleges, stay in the hostel, all around other coming, curly people, then our enthusiasm and energy keeps decreasing. So how can we avoid this?
You have to have regular association of a very good quality with devotees to give you the strength to be able to maintain your Krishna consciousness even in such a polluted atmosphere as a college. Unless you have that regular association, you will not have the spiritual strength to maintain high standard of consciousness within a materialist, mystic atmosphere. For devotees who are having jobs or going to college, they require sadhana so desperately, and they require regular association so desperately to keep their vision of what they want in life very clear and pure, even through their daily life. It's best if you have nice sadhana before you go to college and after you go to college, and a lot of association. It's very important. It's crucial to your spiritual survival. Arjuna heard from Krishna submissively, and on the basis of what he heard, he went out and fight that war. So similarly, every day we may have to fight a war against Maya in the battlefield of our jobs or our universities, colleges. But every day we have to very, very seriously sit down and hear from Krishna. That means chanting his holy names, reading his books, hearing the class. It's very important. That will give us the strength and the direction to remain faithful to Krishna through our ordinary activities in life.
Maharaj, the knot of material attachment.
The knot of material attachment is very strong. It cannot be cut by you or me. It can only be cut by Krishna. Therefore, we have to show Krishna that we want him to cut it by sincerely serving him and by very loudly chanting his holy name. Please continue on this great path of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, and know how important it is that you have the association with each other. Remain pure. Be real leaders in society. A real leader in society is one who performs his occupation while simultaneously displaying the example by which we can achieve the perfection of life. So it is very important. Your occupation may be as a brahmachari, it may be as a student, it may be as a grihastha. Whatever you may choose in life, that is your decision. But it is very important that you do it in Krishna consciousness, and that you really help the world to understand the value of devotional service. What you are doing just now is a very, very great service to all humanity. Prepare yourselves, nourish yourselves with Krishna's mercy, and then give that mercy to the world. That is the greatest charity and the greatest service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.